This is the fourth in our series on God's secret kingdom. Unfortunately, the first part of this didn't record, so I'm going to record this now, and I'll add it to the front of the lesson that was actually taught in the class. We begin in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14, and verses 20 through 24. So far in our study of God's secret kingdom, we've established that as believers, we are in a covenant relationship with God, and that gives us the right to walk in His blessings. God wants us to prosper. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be happy. All of those blessings are available to us, and God wants us to reach into His kingdom and take by force those promises. As we understand these truths, we need to expect God's promises to be manifest in our lives. The whole purpose of me teaching this series is that I want you to prosper and to walk in victory in your lives. Today I want to share with you another truth about walking in this incredible kingdom. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. The next day, as they were coming back from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He saw in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves, so he went to see if he could find any figs on it. But when he came to it, he found only leaves, because it was not the right time for figs. Jesus said to the fig tree, "No one shall ever eat figs from you again." And his disciples heard him. Verse 20. Early next morning, as they walked along the road, they saw the fig tree. It was dead, all the way down to its roots. Peter remembered what had happened and said to Jesus, "Look, teacher, the fig tree you cursed has died." Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God." And the Greek there actually says, "Have God, the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." God uses the spoken word to translate spiritual energy, which is sheer power, into the natural. And can you imagine when Christ's body was laying in the tomb and his soul was in hell, and God spoke life into Jesus' body? In Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we have records of the atomic bombs being dropped there, and physical imprints were made on brick walls, almost like a negative in a camera on film, because the light was so strong that the bricks ended up being just like a photographic image. We also see that in the Shroud of Turin. Whether or not it's really of God, a preacher I knew once said, whether it's God or not, it sure has God's fingerprints on it. But that power contained inside that small tomb, nuclear energy, when Jesus' spirit and soul came back into his body. It's hard for us to even understand that. But God's word is sheer power, and it speaks things into the natural. See, God calls the non-existence, not things that don't exist, into existence. Romans 4:17 says, "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations." It's talking about Abraham. When he didn't even have a child, God was telling him he was the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom we believed. And listen to this part. He says, "Who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed." The King James says that he calls things that be not as though they were. Isn't that great? God speaks things and he says things. He calls things that don't exist as if they already do exist. That is the God kind of faith. In Genesis chapter 1, we see God speaking this energy as he speaks the world into existence. Chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "God said, let there be light, and there was light." Verse 6, God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And it did so. Genesis 1:9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." In verse 11, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so." Verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, and to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Verse 20, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly." the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth. And it goes on and on and on. God let the earth bring forth living creatures in verse 24. But God said, he spoke, and it happened. Your mountain is not moving, a lot of you, because you have not commanded it to move. The promise for the mountain to move is not for everybody, not for every believer. It's for those that believe and then speak. There are so many Christians that live in defeat. They live without victory in their lives. And why is it? There's many reasons. It may be lack of faith. It could be sin. It could be a number of things. But one thing for sure it could be is that they have not learned to speak the Word of God. And it's one thing for us to speak about the mountain, but we're not told to speak about the mountain. We cry and we whine about what's going on, what's the devil's doing to us today, or how we're being beat and this or that. We're to speak to the mountain. Notice Jesus said, whoever shall say unto this mountain. And that is the God kind of faith, when you can speak to that mountain and command it to be moved and thrown into the sea.
So anyway, the doctors had told me he would be like this all his life. And we had a choice of two medicines. One of them would give him high blood pressure for all of his life. And the other one, he would become suicidal, probably, because it was the medicine schizophrenics take. We chose the schizophrenic medicine. And I have no idea why. You could say, well, she's crazy, blah, 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 blah. But I just kept talking to God, and I gave him the medicine. And anyway, we go back to the doctors and back to the doctors and get more medicine. And my son became suicidal. He wrote a note I found on the table, and it said, dear Jesus, I'd sure like to see what you look like. I don't like it here. And so I prayed to God. I took him to the healing rail, and God told me, no more medicine. I took him off the medicine. He never ticked again.
Wow.
It was the end of it. But the best part was when I went back to the doctors. I don't know why I felt I had to go back to the neurologist. And when I went in there, he said, I hope you have something good to say to me today. It's been a really bad day. I said, that's something great. My son's healed. I took him off the medicine. He said, no, you didn't. You can't take him off that medicine just like that. I said, well, I did. And he said, why? And I said, because God healed him. And he still told me I couldn't take him off the medicine. Now, he hadn't had the medicine for 3 weeks. What was I going to do? Put him back on and take him off gradually?
Yeah, praise God. But see, she spoke that. God,
I
she
spoke
believed.
It.
God
I
spoke to her.
Healing well, and I said, God, I demand, and I really did. I said, I demand that you heal my son. I beg you for this child. He will not live like this. I was so mad at God, I can't even begin to tell you how much I screamed at him.
You know, that's what the Bible says, violent, take it by force.
Yeah.
The healing's there. We've just got to reach in and take it. It's like salvation. Salvation's already been atoned for. Same with healing. God's already made the way for us. We just got to reach in and take it. And then we believe it, we begin to speak it. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a two-part thing. We know that we get saved. There's nothing we can do to get saved other than believe, right? There's no work. But when we have faith, faith always has an action. In salvation, it's speaking. We confess that we're saved. What's another thing of faith that you can think of that's an action? Anybody have an example maybe of what action follows faith?
Yep. Protection. I remember this as clearly as day. I was a teenager, and this Doberman, I mean, he was vicious, huge Doberman. You know what they like? He came at me with these growling teeth, and I thought, okay, God, I'm going to die. But then I said to then the thought came to me, use the name of Jesus. So I looked right at that dog, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I demand you, Satan, to leave me alone. And the dog turned away and went the other way.
Wow.
It didn't come to me.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I believe you can use it for protection.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Speak the word of God. Yeah. Faith always has an action. When the believer's words, when they're mixed with God's word and with faith, your words as a believer have incredible power. Incredible power. Isaiah 55:11 says, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit, and it will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. There's three things God says about his word. He said, it always produces fruit, it will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. And you know what? You're the vessel of God's Word. Jesus is with the Father right now, and He gave us that responsibility to carry the Word. You know what? If the biggest thing I struggle with in my Christian walk is really understanding who I am in Christ. I think if all of us could really understand who we are and learn to walk in that authority, this world would completely change. You know, you see some people sometimes that really, I remember this old lady, I think I've told you guys about her before, but she was not Mennonite, but apostolic, because the kind that they don't cut their hair and they put it in a bun and they don't wear makeup and they wear the old long dresses and all that. And when she was 40 years old, she looked like she was 80. And she died here just a few years ago. And she was like 92 years old. I was surprised by that. Hey, Larry. But she was a prayer warrior. I mean, this lady loved the Lord. And I asked her one time, I said, what is the secret to prayer? And she said, it's just talking to God and just being in a relationship with Him. And she brought me a typed some pages that were typed that talked about prayer. And she said, here, you can use read these and learn these and make copies or whatever. Anyway, that completely changed how I prayed, learning from her. And you know what? She was a vessel of God's honor and God's authority. She knew how to walk with the Lord, how to command things, how to speak. God's Word is alive inside of you. And like I said, where I struggle, and you probably struggle with that too, is who we are. We're in a covenant relationship, we talked about last week, or last time, with God. We walk in the same authority that Christ walked in because He's in our lives. That's powerful. Consider the faith of the centurion. Remember, he came to Jesus in Matthew and he said, Lord, he said, my servant is deathly ill. He said, I would like for you to pray for him. Jesus said, okay, I'll go heal him. And he said, what did he say? Somebody tell me.
Just say the word.
Just say the word.
I'm the captain of a bunch of guys, and if I say do, they do. So all you have to do is say the word.
Isn't that awesome? He knew the authority. He understood authority. He said,
That was a loose translation.
That's very good. Very good.
I liked it.
And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant shall be healed. Some versions say, just command it to be so. Now, why was he not worthy?
Well, he wasn't a Hebrew.
He wasn't a Jew, was he? He wasn't under that covenant. But how much better covenant are we under? How much more worthy are we to be able to speak the Word of God? Well, what happened when Jesus spoke the Word?
Healed.
Just like always, He was healed, wasn't He?
Yeah, right.
He didn't even have to go there. Abraham.
See, like I said before, even in the church, because sometimes in the church I see somebody drop. The next thing you're going to call, I think our faith here is 911, the ambulance. We don't exercise this power that has been given to us. As you rightly said, we have it. But we don't even know how to use it, when to use it, where to use it.
Yep.
We don't know. We have it.
Yep.
But we can't let it go because we hold on tight on something and we depend on somebody else to exercise our faith.
That's true. That is so true. We depend on everything but God.
Is it called 911? That's how I feel.
Yeah. Thank God we have those things, but how many times do we put our faith in something man's made instead of in God? We talked about that just a little bit ago, Penny and I, but you know, we don't really trust Lord. We trust things. And you know, doctors and stuff are good, but the best thing is to be healed by God, isn't it? The best thing is not to ever get sick to begin with. You know, be able to walk in divine health.
But you still need healing.
You do. All healing comes from God, whether it's a doctor. I had a lady come to my first church, and she asked me, and I knew she had kind of stirred some things up in some other churches. She said, how do you feel about healing, about going to doctors? And I said, well, I said, if that's where a person's faith is, they need to go to a doctor. I said, all healing comes from God. And she got mad, and she didn't want to come to church anymore, and she didn't. But you know what? Healing from God's awesome. But if I get healed through a doctor too, praise the God, I'll take healing however I can get it.
Well, it's ultimately through God.
Anyway. Absolutely. It all comes through God. All healing.
Jay?
Yes?
I watched a movie yesterday about a man that came over here from Australia, and he had gotten really, really overweight and really sick, and he wanted to do a juice fast. So for 60 days, he spent the first 30 days in New York, and he kept his juicer in the back of his car, and all he did was drink green juice, the plants that God's made. He just juiced him. At the end of 60 days, it was amazing. He was off all his pills, had lost all his weight, and I thought, what did he use? He used something God made.
Yep.
It's like God provided yep. that healing well, for us.
Most of our medicines are made from plants. Yeah, they just concentrate things. And you think about people hundreds of years ago, I remember reading a thing about a guy a while back that got shot, and they took bear grease and they packed it in the bullet wound. And you know, it was sterile, and the guy ended up healing. He had a bullet through his lung, and he ended up healing. It was bear grease. I mean, these weird things, you know, just natural remedies. That's good. The main thing I want you to understand is that we are worthy for God, for the Jesus to come in our house, for Jesus to work through us because of this covenant that we have with Him. Somebody here today, the Lord just spoke to me this morning. I was praying. He said, somebody here needs to speak to their mountain. Now, I don't know who that is. I don't know what that's about. But God spoke to me this morning. And I know it's a fact. God said, somebody here needs to speak to their mountain. You know, when you do that, you can expect it to move. God's word says it will. And you know what? We need to learn to, guys, we need to learn to trust God's word over our feelings, over what anybody else says, over what a doctor says. Trust God's word. Luke 1:37 says, well, first of all, consider Mary. Remember when the angel came to her and he said, you're going to conceive and you're going to have the Son of God? And she's like, well, how can this be? I've never even been with a man. I mean, here she's probably 14, 15, 16 years old. And the angel said to her, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Just the word of God itself has the power in itself. All we have to do is speak it. You know, the Bible says that if we teach the word, if we preach it, people will hear it and people get saved. And you know what? It's not our responsibility to make sure that happens, is it? All we have to do is do what the Lord says. And if we speak the word, whose responsibility is it for that word to come to pass?
God's.
So we have the easy part. We just have to speak it. And why in the world God chose for us to have that part, I don't know. But it's probably because it's a covenant relationship. We share in this relationship. If it was all one-sided, it just, you know, it wouldn't be a relationship.
It blesses us too, Jay.
What's that?
It blesses us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We talk about speaking situations, just like when someone's demon-possessed. You got to command that demon. You got to speak to that demon, tell it to shut up, you tell it to leave, and guess what? You got to do it. I told you guys about that witch from New Zealand that I ministered to for a while. She kept saying, why can't I find you in the spiritual realm to put curses on me? It's because I'm covered with the blood of Christ. I'm absolutely protected because of that. And the authority's there because of that. Realize when Jesus said, they said, how come this fig tree died? And he says, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. That's the God kind of faith. You believe something, you learn in the Word what God's Word says, you believe it, and then you speak it. That's the God kind of faith. And God wants us to operate in that faith. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believed, and therefore speak. Did you notice in Matthew 11:23, Jesus said, believe once, and he said to say three times. He said, believe once, and then he said the word say three times when he talked about that. So we're supposed to believe and speak the word. Samuel, who's one of the greatest prophets, he was actually the last judge of Israel and the first major prophet, so he was kind of on the cusp of how, when things changed. It says in 1 Samuel 3:19, it says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Why do you think that was? In other words, what do you think it means, first of all, when he said his words didn't fall to the ground? God didn't allow that. What do you think that means?
Fruitful.
Not wasted, fruitful. Anybody else?
Heard.
Those are good. I think that's what it means. It's just when he spoke a word, it came to pass. It was truth. Abraham.
He obeyed the word of God.
He obeyed the word of God. I think he heard the word. He knew what God wanted. He knew God's will. He knew God's word. And then he spoke.
Yeah.
And God honored that. It's the same with us. If you know, he didn't even walk under this great covenant. He walked into the old covenant that wasn't as good as what we have. And the Bible tells us that we're prophets, priests, and kings to the Lord, just like he was a prophet and a priest. So we need to learn to speak the word of God. We can't do that if we don't get in the word, can we? We got to be in the word. You know, and just coming to church every Sunday, that's good, but it's not enough. Meditate on the word every day. Chew on it. See what God's word says. Guarantee it's like finding buried treasure. It's like, you know, I like to drink water. I always have a big mug. They call it a Bubba keg. Big old thing. Barbara got me a pink one. My blue one's leaking, so she got me a pink one.
Yes, I like her.
But why don't you paint it blue?
You know what? I may have to. Maybe paint some magic marker. But, you know, I have that all day long. And I love drinking ice water. It seems like the more I drink, the more I want. It's the same thing with the Word of God. The more I study, man, the more I want, because it's just rich and full of treasure. I'm like the guy that said in the Bible, he says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. You know, same thing. I've got to have that dose of the Scripture. I've got to go share what the Lord's showing me. It's amazing. But anyway, God didn't let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Same thing, if you walk in the Word of God and you speak the Word, God won't let your words fall to the ground. Think about Peter when he was out in the storm. Remember the storm? He was walking out there in the water. He was in the boat. He said, Lord, what do you say? What do you say to Jesus? Remember the storm, all those apostles in the boat, and they look up and they see Jesus, which
tell
was...
Me to come.
He said, tell me to come, right? It says in Matthew 14, it says, Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you. Some versions say, some say command. But he says, command me to come to you on the water. What did Jesus say? I think Jesus just kind of smiled and said, you know, this is Peter, this is all right, come on. So what did Peter do? He walked on water, didn't he? Until he got to looking around. Of course, that's a whole other lesson. But you think about that. He walked on water because Jesus spoke it. Think about what we can do when we speak the Word of God. Think about Peter and John when they were at the gate called Beautiful in the book of Acts. And there was a man that had been crippled since the time he was born. And he was begging for money. And what did Peter say?
Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk.
And what happened?
He walked, didn't he?
You know what? Peter was no different than you and I. Matter of fact, he was probably a little stranger than you and I. I don't know anybody in here maybe that's his AD. You're his ADD? I don't know about that. But you think about it. Peter was a vessel for the Word of God, just like we are. He didn't operate in any special anointing that we can't operate in. He operated under the same Word of God that we can walk in. But he said, He says, but Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. He said it. So he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the guy did. We bind and loose. Anybody ever heard a lesson on binding and loosing? Something's not taught a lot in the church, but you think about spiritual things. Well, let me just read the scripture. Matthew 18:18 says, truly I say to you, Jesus said this, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There's spiritual power and authority that we can bind here on earth. We can bind it in the spiritual realm. A while back I was teaching a lesson, I think in a different class, but it was talking about a natural war that was going on earth. It was the Hebrews against the Philistines, I believe, somebody like that. But it talked about, at the same time, there were actually principalities and angels having a war in heaven. When there's a war going on here, there's actually stuff going on in heaven along with it. That's why it's so important we pray for our soldiers. We pray for our people in the military, because it's not just this earthly thing. You look at these, you know, Daniel talks about the prince of the power, the prince of the air of Persia. Those spirits are still there, still causing trouble. Man, we look at us having to deal with that mess over there. We set Iraq free from Saddam Hussein. What they do? They went into a civil war. You know, there's spiritual stuff going on. We need to surround all that with prayer as Christians. Listen to what Jesus told the Pharisees. Matthew 12, he says, you brood of vipers. Is it any wonder they killed him? Because he told them what they were, didn't he?
That's very endearing.
Isn't it? But you can't worry. What was it you said last week about worry? Instead of worry, you used, what was the other term?
Highly concerned.
Highly concerned. I love that. I've got to write that down. And he says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. When Jesus spoke of that treasure, he was talking about a place where things are deposited. If you look in the Greek, he talks about a place where things were deposited, this treasure. What kind of deposit are you making in your storehouse, in your heart? What kind of deposit? Are you putting good things in there? Are you putting the Word of God in there? Are you putting earthly things, idle things, evil things? It's really easy to figure out where a person's heart is. If you're hammering a nail and you slam your thumb, what's the first thing that comes out?
Thank you.
There you go. So you put good things in your heart.
Yeah. Talk about lying. Ask me after class. Talk about lying.
But you see, there we need to store up good things in here. Store up the Word of God, so when things come, we immediately speak the Word of God. we don't immediately get highly concerned. Or, I love that. I think that's good. But we need to store up the Word of God, because the Word of God is powerful and it causes things to change. Our partnership with God is fulfilled when we speak His Word in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we see in Mark 11:23. When we know who God is, and when we have faith in Him, we'll know what His will is through His Word. We'll trust in His favor and His grace that He's put on us. I mean, if we could just get hold of that, of who we are in Christ and what power and authority we walk in, nothing would stop us. You know, if we feel like the Lord was telling us to start a little business, man, we wouldn't fear. We wouldn't be highly concerned or anything. We would immediately go do what God said. If the Lord says, go to Africa and be a missionary, we wouldn't fear at all, because we'd know who we are in Christ. And we know that all hell has to break loose when we walk through with Jesus in our lives and with the blood of Christ on us. When we participate with God by speaking the Word of God. It's one thing to believe, but if you don't speak it, you haven't fulfilled the whole thing. You can believe that mountain may move out of the way, but until you command it to, it's not going to move. So like I say, somebody here today needs that. You need to speak to your mountain. Let me just, I'm going to read this last part, my conclusion. I always told us in seminary, said you need to read your introduction and do your outline and then read your conclusion. But I always end up missing things that I wished I got. So I want to read this to you. It is as important for us to speak the Word of God over our life and the situations we face as it is for us to trust God for our salvation. Our spoken words set in motion a natural cycle of events that will influence the way our lives are played out. What the Bible says in James 3:6 is, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body." The phrase "setteth on fire the course of nature" in the original Greek translates more closely, "sets in motion the cycle of natural events." Satan, therefore, tries to get you to speak contrary to God's word and set in motion a chain of natural events or a cycle that will lead to destruction. You see what I'm saying? Steve had a really good lesson on the tongue. You got a good lesson on that. But if we begin to speak idle words, and we speak bad things, if we speak about the mountain instead of to the mountain, we begin to build this cycle. You know, somebody can say, oh, it scared me to death. Well, are you going to immediately die? Of course not. But you know, if you walk in fear and you speak things that are contrary to God's word, it sets up this cycle for your whole life, for negative things and bad things. So we need to learn to walk in that cycle of good things. Speak the word. You may not feel like it, but you know what? You may not see what you want, but trust the word of God. Believe it over whatever you see, whatever you think, whatever other people say. Believe the word of God. My son's healed. The doctor said, he can't be. Don't listen to that doctor. Believe what God said. It's going to last a whole lot longer. It's going to be permanent, where the doctor's is just a practice we talked about. Okay, what should we do then? Whatever we want to come out of our mouth, we should deposit in our heart. Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Hide the word of God in your heart. Store it up here, Joshua, or store it up there. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then shall you make your way prosperous, and then shall you have good success." If you want to be prosperous and if you want to have good success, then you should meditate on God's word. Then what you have stored in your heart will come out of your mouth, and that word, God's word, will have power within itself to cause itself to come to pass. Have you ever noticed, I was thinking about this one day and just meditating on it. You take a seed, I don't care what kind of seed it is, but you plant it in the ground, and it gets water through the ground, it gets nutrients through the soil, and it grows into its own plant. It grows after itself. You plant a fig seed, it grows a fig tree. You plant a tomato seed, it grows a tomato. Isn't that the most bizarre thing, if you think about it? What, I mean, it's all the same dirt, the same water, but it's the DNA inside that seed that causes that thing to grow into what it is.
And it's so tiny.
It's so tiny. And you take a kernel of corn, you plant that, and just one corn plant. I mean, how many kernels are on an ear of corn? And you got, a couple of those on each plant? It's amazing.
Look at redwood tree.
What?
It's a corn or redwood.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing those things. I mean, just, it's a miracle how that all works. Yeah.
Just to jump from the smallest egg to the largest egg, their hatch gestation period starts at 7 days, at 14 days, the chicken that runs around 21 days, the ostrich 42 days. Mm-hmm. So it's all divisible by seven.
God, no kidding.
Take a thing of corn, like I said. Where does this come from? Anyway, take an ear of corn. Yeah, an ear of corn. All of the rows of corn, they're all equal. A watermelon all has an equal, even number of stripes on it. Bananas, it starts off three even, parts. Then the next bunch on the stalk has an odd number, so it won't overlap, then it's even and odd, and it reduces itself all the way down.
That's amazing.
So it's just amazing how God has just planned our whole life and everything, and our life falls right into this thing, the whole thing. And it goes back to what you said, we have to listen to God and do what He tells us to do and know that He's going to, you know, fulfill His promise. And I have one other thing about that. We have a really good friend who we met. His name is Kim. And his wife's grandfather was captured by the... he was Filipino, and he was captured by the Japanese. He returned with the 1st Regiment of the Rangers. And every morning, the CO of the camp, before his breakfast, he would kill eight men. And then he would shoot, just line them up in a ditch. He'd line everybody up, and then he would shoot each one of them dead. Well, her grandfather got called to the line, and he said, "Lord, I'm your servant. Tell me what to do." And he says, "Walk." And so the guy's gun jammed as he killed this guy, and he was reloading it here to kill her grandfather, and he walked to the, and nobody saw him. I mean, he just walked away, and the guy just skipped on down and shot the next guy. But he was able to go back and tell the Rangers what that whole camp was like, and they were able to save every guy in it without losing a single soul.
Wow.
But he believed in God so much, and he's 97 years old, and he's still preaching the word today.
Wow. That's awesome. That's like Norm's daddy. Like Norm's daddy's like 92 or 93 now.
Yeah, in the nursing
and,
home.
And
now.
Still, he's preaching in the nursing home now.
Take me in a bus to another nursing home.
Yeah. He's not letting it stop him.
Yeah.
So the whole reason I'm teaching this series is because I want you guys to get it. I want you to prosper. I want you to be a success in life. And I want good things to happen in your life. If you'll study this, I tell you, this covenant that we have with God is amazing, and this secret kingdom that we can reach into and by force take out these things. And God's already made provision for so much of it, like healing and for eternity. And we've just got to take it and do something with it. Our whole lives will be changed if you get hold of this. Your family's lives will be changed. So please, I mean, if you need to, go back and look over the notes and study them. And they're all on the internet. The recordings are on there. But get this in your heart. Get it in your heart. Begin to speak the word of God. So you can see change in your life. Don't just expect a mountain to move. Command it to move. Just like Jesus commanded and like Peter commanded that guy walk in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Tell you what, I just love this stuff. And I was talking about T.L. Osborne the other day that went to Africa. And they went to India and nothing happened. They prayed and nobody got healed or anything. They came back defeated. Well, then they began to study the Word. And they realized that Jesus does heal, and they went back to Africa, and they just had miracle crusade after miracle crusade. And that's what we need to see. We need to see God moving in people's lives. So anyway, talking about meditation, does anybody have any good tips on how you meditate on the Word of God? We'll close with this, but I just want to see. Nancy.
I just wanted to say, kind of to piggyback what you're saying, that's one of the reasons Steve and I want to open our house for prayer. Because I really think, you know, there's so much power in prayer.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times we just close a meeting in a quick prayer. You know, I think it would really be great to be able to come together as a group and really pray for one another.
Yeah.
Spend some time in prayer. But what I really love is listening to the Daily Audio Bible. And he reads the Word fresh every day. And just hearing it audibly, and then you can follow along if you want to, but just hearing it every day, there's something about hearing the Word of God.
Absolutely.
That just
changes your life.
It does.
Absolutely.
It really does.
And it produces seed. It produces, like you said, it'll never come back void. It'll always do what it sets out to do. So get the Word in your hearts. Tim.
What I'm going to take is to actually write out the verse that I'm interested in, you know, that God draws me to. And just read it out loud again, and think, stop and think about it. And just do that all day long.
Yeah. I know some people take 3.5x5 cards.
Yeah, even bigger cards.
Yeah, and they'll write scriptures on that and then keep them around all day. That's good. I just kind of take it. I'll read it in the morning, and one will stick out to me.
And there, I do most of my stuff on the internet anymore. I've got like Bible software and all that. It has all the different versions. It has commentary, and that's what I use. But a scripture will stand out, and that's why I just kind of think about it all day. Kind of just chew on it and think, you know, look at different angles and stuff. What about somebody else? Anybody have any keys to that? Well, let me encourage you to do it, Janelle.
The best practice that I've ever had was to do the Daily Walk Bible. That's done by guys that do our daily bread and just Radio Bible Ministry, yeah. Whatever. Anyway, you read through the whole Bible in here. It's arranged into a reading for every day, and they give you about every 6 or 7 days, they give you a day with just a little paragraph so you can catch up, because they know you're going to fall behind anyway. But they give you an insight and a prayer, and then they give you the scripture. And doing that, I mean, so many people say, I really would like to read through the Bible. I've never read the whole Bible, whatever. Doing that, you'll get through the Bible.
That's cool.
And when you get through the Bible from front to back, you have a different perspective, a very different perspective.
Yeah.
You start to see the threads on the underneath side of the fabric.
Yeah. I guess what it all comes down to is we all have different ways of meditating on the Word. You know, find a way that works for you and do it, and God will change your life.